coming to you live from my apartment. It's Jess Has Rob's podcast. I'm Jessica Leese. I am in for Rob Cesternino, who is still in the hospital with his adorable baby, who was born yesterday at 5 o'clock. Just in case you guys didn't see the pictures, People Magazine's website put them out today, and everybody looks great. Everybody's doing wonderful. So I want to welcome to our first recap podcast of the season, Zev and Justin, two-time racers and personal favorite racers of mine. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so overall, what did you guys think of the premiere?
Zev?
I guess it was nice to see what the teams were like. You could pretty much tell what each team was like in the first 5 minutes, and it was cool that they got to go to Chile.
That's true. You guys went to South America, right?
Very briefly.
Very briefly.
Yeah, we went to Brazil very briefly. I thought it was a cool episode. This seems like a cast that I would want to be racing with. It doesn't seem like there's any ringers in this cast. Like, sometimes there's a team that stands out right away, and you go, okay, they're going to win probably a handful of legs. I don't really know that there's a team in this cast that scares anybody.
I thought Tim and Marie were kind of scary, personally, but they have a lot of competition, and I think that's good. There's not one team that is going to kick everybody's ass.
Right. Yeah, they're my pick to win it. We made our picks on our... We have a little show that we do on Wednesday nights called Let's Get Digital on tradiov.com, and we made our picks, and Tim and Marie were my pick before the show to win the whole thing.
They were actually mine as well. So, but I thought Zev's picks were very interesting.
I remember.
Well, you said that you thought that the first out would be Jason and Amy, and I had them as my cynical pick to win it all.
Who are they? That's the Boston.
The Boston. The really buff prep schooly looking guy and the pageant girl.
Right.
So, one thing I got on the Twitter was, did the premiere seem really rushed to you guys? I thought it was kind of no more than usual for a first episode, but they seemed like they're packing a lot in.
Did it seem rushed? I don't know. I mean, I think it was the same amount of events that they usually go through in the first hour. I felt like none of the events that they had to go through, they were all kind of like, there was no real skill to any of it, except for maybe rowing. You know, like you just float through the air in a parasail, or you row the boat. Like, it didn't feel like there was a whole lot of challenge other than just not making a huge mistake, and reading the clues was a big deal, as always.
Yeah, as always. So, what did you think of that first roadblock? Now, the person who's doing the roadblock doesn't end up being the person who has to do the harder part of the roadblock. Do you guys think that's fair?
I don't necessarily think the roadblock was that hard. You're just jumping off a mountain and flying.
Right. There wasn't much to it. But it evened out because they basically said, whoever did this, you know, whoever didn't do this has to do the other thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you didn't really...
Which one? That one was tougher.
You didn't really get to... It's not like you burned a roadblock usage, because no matter what, they each used one, you know. It might have bothered me a little bit if I was there and you know, you choose to do something and then it ends up being the other guy that actually has to do the work.
Yeah, I feel like they've done that a lot more often recently. Like, I think they did this pretty much this exact task three seasons ago now with the season that had the Big Brother people in it. I mentioned this in my blog, which actually went up about an hour ago. Brendan and Rachel from Big Brother.
Brendan and Rachel, right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were like, Jeff and Jordan were on like the season right after you guys, right?
I think
like 19? Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. All right, so let's backtrack a little bit, go back to the starting line. What do you guys think of this location choice? Do you think they're running out of locations? I thought this, personally, I thought it was a little bit cheesy and maybe misleading.
It's always a little bit cheesy. I don't know. Yeah, I guess at a certain point when you're 23 seasons in, you're going to end up with some slim pickings as far as location choices. I feel like it's always in L.A. now. Like, they're just like,
yeah.
We don't feel like starting anywhere else anymore for whatever reason. I don't know. I thought it was fine. It seemed very Amazing Race to me to do it there. I like that they rolled up on the horse and buggy.
Yeah, I guess they're running out of transportation.
Just a race.
Yeah. And that actually ended up playing a big part in it. They didn't actually have to do anything before they left. It's just whoever gets to the airport first gets a 3-hour advantage.
Yeah.
Our second season, we had to go
even
find a little. Well, our first especially, yeah. Right at the starting line. But even in our second season, we had to go find the little paper airplanes and. You know, there was something to it.
There was a task.
There was a task there. I think it's fun when they do that.
Yeah, you think as a viewer that that's more interesting, or do you like to jump right into the airport?
Yeah, I think as a viewer, it's to get the race going right away. Get the blood flowing.
Get the blood flowing, and also give them a surprise. Like, it's always good when the racers get shocked.
Yeah,
they need to stay on their toes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, how about the product placement? I mean, I know you guys might be a little biased because you are now Ford owners, but do you find it gets a little more intrusive every year?
It doesn't bother me.
I mean, it's the world we live in, you know. I definitely can't hate on them for that. We would, if somebody were to say to you, hey, would you hold a Snapple bottle for this whole interview right now, you'd do it in a heartbeat for the right price, right?
Yeah, well, I guess everybody can be bought.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not going to get more product placement-y than the tea leg in India that Zev had to drink all that tea when it was all Amazing Race Snapple.
Yeah.
So,
that was only one.
What about at the end when we did the whole cheers and they made it turn
into
a commercial?
Yeah, they had the bucket with the ice and the bottles arranged
exactly.
All artfully. Yeah.
Well, I don't blame them for that. You know, I think it's just the way it is now. It's just... You know, nobody's watching commercials, so they got to turn the program into a commercial itself.
Yeah. Although I was reading something that said that people now, that DVR commercials actually end up paying more attention to them because they're watching to see when they need to stop fast-forwarding, which I think is very interesting.
I know I'm not.
Yeah. All right, so... They get to the starting line. We've got brand new opening credits. That's always exciting. We get 7 teams on the first flight. And they tried to hype up the drama with the paragliding task, and they had one of the baseball wives, Kim, having like a very tiny panic attack, but I thought it was personally kind of lame. We haven't seen anybody have a major meltdown yet.
Yeah. No major meltdowns. They tried to hype up as much as they could because
I think they were searching for something.
Yeah, they were digging for those cliffhangers on
usually
this one.
If you have a helper helping you along the way, it's a pretty easy task.
Yeah, exactly. All you have to do is sit there and actually one of them screwed it up, right? He fell out.
Yeah,
he ran down
the mountain.
Oh yeah, the beard guy, he ran down the cliff.
Yeah, those guys don't seem like they're gonna last very long.
No, they're a little bit. I think they're a little bit too set in their ways for the race.
Do you check out the spoiler sites? Because we're not operating from a spoiler perspective here. I just want you to know.
No, I have kind of a mixed spoiler policy. I want to know the locations, and I want to know who the racers are, but I don't want to know what order they finished in.
Okay, how do you manage to avoid that?
It's not easy, but they're... One of the sites I read, and they're actually very good about this, they have separate threads. They have a separate thread for locations and a separate thread for identifying the racers.
Is it the Peach, the Georgia Peach?
Yes, it's Georgia Peach's site. And she's terrific.
She knows what she's doing, that Peach.
She definitely does. And she also helped hook me up with some Amazing Race Canada stuff this summer when I was trying to cover it for the site. So I appreciated that as well.
There you go.
All right, so midway through the paragliding, we hit our first instance of a team completely failing to read the clue. And I thought this was very... midway through the second roadblock, we... sorry about that. My phone just went off. Rob says I'm doing great. I'm not doing great. We get to the second roadblock, and we have our first instance of the team not reading a clue. And I thought this was very interesting because it could have been a lot worse than it was. Jamal started to do the roadblock that Leo, the Afghanimal, was supposed to do.
It's really, it's unbelievable how 23 seasons in, people still are screwing this stuff up. I mean,
they teach that to you in orientation.
It's truly mind-boggling. It just goes to show like how frazzled you can get when you're out there, and you can get pretty frazzled. But that stuff is just totally unexcusable.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that you guys never had that problem. You were always very methodical.
I would have had that problem if it wasn't for him. He was always the one that was like, "Let's read the clue. Let's read the clue." He always. And I was always the one, I barely even opened the clue, and I would just black out and run in whatever direction I was facing. Like, so I get where they're coming from, but it's just, you got to have somebody that's their whole thought process is, let's read the clue, you know? It's, to have the wrong person, we never came close to having the wrong person do something, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, those guys annoyed me a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the Afghanimals.
Yeah. Yeah,
the only thing they have going for him is that name, the Afghanimals.
Yeah, it seemed like he was, they knew they were always on camera, so they were acting like it.
Yeah.
And they were doing that...
That yell
thing, like, oh, you're supposed to show us that you're Americanized. Like, don't do the cut off your head.
Yeah, that's, the yell is like, I would imagine if I was from Afghanistan, I wouldn't appreciate that they were out there doing that.
The yell is bad.
Yeah, I think I tend to not like racer teams that have a name, like they're the something.
Yeah.
And it might have been the reason I rooted for you guys in the All-Star season, because you were about the only team on that season that didn't have a moniker like that.
We couldn't think of one. But we were the only ones, you're right. It was like the Redheads, the Goths, the Globetrotters, the Cowboys. Yeah, we didn't really have ours.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I feel like there needs to be regular people on the season, and about half the teams this season don't seem like they're regular people. I feel like there's a very, very big difference between the people that have applied for the show and the people that somebody recruited.
They try very hard not to cast, you know, totally regular people.
Yeah.
That's not their mandate.
Yeah, I think Tim and Danny are about the closest we have this season to regular people.
Yeah, Tim was, I don't know which one's which, but crying right out the gate.
Yeah, he's got a soft story.
The money thing a little too much, huh?
Yeah, I mean, come on now. Like, cry like you've been there for 3.5 weeks and, you know, your wife's pregnant or something. You can't just start crying after leaving for 8 hours. That's...
Yeah, but do you think that's them, or is that editing? Like, is that setting us up for them to be out in the next leg so we feel like we're sad that they're gone?
I'm not sure what the reason is, but, I mean, he definitely cried. He definitely was getting emotional, so they don't bring that out in you. That's either there or it isn't. They're asking you questions, but they're not, you know, they're not actively poking at that, I don't think.
Yeah, he could choose to reveal that or not.
Right. I mean, did he even reveal anything, or was he just...
I think his wife is sick or something.
Yeah, okay. she has some kind of chronic illness. And...
Oh, well, then I'm going to feel like a real asshole. I didn't know that. I apologize for everything I just said.
It's okay, man. I mean, well, what do you think is more egregious? Like, the people that come on the show because they need the money and they're very upfront about needing the money, or the people that come on the show and already have $1 million? Like, who's harder to root for?
You mean the ones that have already won?
Not the ones that have already.
And the baseball wives, they don't need the money. I personally think if you go into your interview and say, oh yeah, we're just here for the money, you're not going to get on the show. It seems like they got through that process and then.
Yeah.
And then they went out, then they started talking about the money.
Yeah, I mean, everybody on some level is there for the money, you know?
Yeah.
But. It's definitely easier It's easier to root for teams that you know really need it, for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like if the only reason you're going on the show is because you need the money, there are a lot of easier ways to get $1 million.
Probably. Is there? Wait, can I hear a few of them?
Yeah. I was thinking you could cook meth, but...
Oh, there you go, yeah.
I'm still in Breaking Bad hangover.
Much more than 25 days to make $1 million.
Yeah, and then you need the distributors, and, you know, then there's always, like, the rival gangs trying to kill you.
The neo-Nazis and...
Yeah, neo-Nazis, just gets out of control, so...
Yeah, that's true. No, I guess...
What do you mean? Not that
it's not an instructional tale.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, so here's a hypothetical for you. You're at a roadblock. The other team has misread the clue, and they're totally screwing up, and the other team...
Oh, absolutely not. That was crazy. Like,
I would not have told
that. That was just, you know...
Yeah.
That was just, like, diarrhea of the mouth, you know... They weren't. That's one reason why I feel like this is an easy season to win. It's because nobody there is really thinking strategically. They're all kind of stumbling through it.
Well, maybe yeah. In the first leg, they're just trying to get their bearings and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on the other hand, you really, on the first leg, you were on the first flight. You're 2.5 hours ahead of everybody else. I guess it doesn't really hurt you that much to help out another team.
True. It does make a difference.
Yeah.
You never know if it's going to be a super leg or not, where everybody catches up at one point.
Yeah, well, you know, they're all going to eventually.
Okay. Yeah, I would not have told them.
But no, I wouldn't have told them either. Unless it was the Globetrotters.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah, we helped the Globetrotters.
Yeah, well, they were your besties for, like, two whole seasons, so I think that's understandable.
That's true. BFFs. Yeah. Right.
All right, so let's go to the doctors who also failed at reading the clue. And this came up on...
In the long run, because they're definitely the smartest people, and since they're doctors, their brains are working faster. So I think them actually making this mistake right off the bat and it not really hurting them, except for Express Pass, it will help them in the long run.
I like that call.
Yeah, that is a very good call. Like, if you're going to screw up on something, you want to screw up right out of the gate so you have time to fix it and you can think about it going forward. Absolutely, yeah.
They're the kind of team that I feel like won't do that again, as opposed to the Afghanimals. I could definitely see doing that again.
Yeah, absolutely. They could do it many more times. Yeah, I thought I was going to like those guys a lot more than I actually do.
Yeah. They remind me of those twins. Twinnies.
Oh, the twinnies. Yeah, a little bit. Same energy level, I think.
They're the male version of the twinnies.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had male twins last season, and they were like the anti-twinnies.
Yeah, they were awesome. Bates and his brother.
They were twins?
Yeah. No, we had the twins that were out first, the doctor twins, Idris and Jamil, and they freaked out about the water.
Oh, yeah.
They were the anti-twinnies, we were calling them.
Those guys didn't.
Yeah, if they had just switched the roadblock, they would have finished with no problem, but they just kept trying to do that roadblock, and the other detour was so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them, but they were doctors, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if being a doctor helps you all that much. Like, they always say it does, but it's been a mixed group. I mean, the dad that got eliminated last night, he was a doctor.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Did you see how he got, like, I guess I'm maybe skipping ahead, but suddenly it was dark? Like, he was out there for, like, 4 hours?
Yeah.
That was rough. When you're, especially when you're, it's on the first leg, and you know you're last. And you have to be out there for 4 hours knowing you've just completely humiliated yourself.
They read the clue wrong, too.
And they read the clue wrong.
Yes, they did.
That was maybe one of the, like, I don't know how many, like, all the ones that have gone out first, but that was as bad as it's gotten on the first leg, I think.
It seemed like the baseball wives read the clue wrong, too, because wasn't Kim in the boat rowing?
I don't know, I missed that.
Although Kim paraglided, so she was supposed to be in the boat rowing.
No, Nikki was supposed to be the opposite.
No, we were paraglided.
No, I think Yeah, whoever paraglided had to get in the boat.
Just driving.
Oh, because they were the leader. Oh, okay.
In fact, like, they showed three different people reading the clue out loud, so I'm not even sure how they figured, like, how anybody could have read that wrong. Because it seemed pretty clear to me.
Yeah. Yet there are always a couple.
Yeah. So the doctors missed the part of the clue where it said, make your way on foot. And I feel like this is a slightly more understandable error because you can make it while you're reading very fast.
Yes.
Like, who made the bigger error?
It's always right there. And, you know, how many seasons do you need to watch to have seen people make that mistake all the time? Like, to me, that's the one that's harder to understand.
We got saved because of that.
Yeah, Kent and Vixen saved us.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know. That's always right there on the clue. That seems like the one that you're always on the lookout for. That's a pretty stupid mistake. But like you said, they're not going to make it again.
Yeah, that's true. Now this came up on Twitter, and I think I understand it, but I want to check with like actual experts who have lived it. So if you miss a clue and you haven't completed a task, Phil won't check you in until you go back and finish it. But if your error involves misreading a clue on something that is not related to a roadblock or a detour, you just get the penalty, right?
Depends on the situation, I think, right?
I don't quite understand.
She's saying, I mean, it's all like depends on the violation. You know, like the cab stuff is always a delay. You know, if it's like an equipment thing, that's a delay. But then, yeah, if you haven't finished the task, they always make you go back.
Yeah.
Or if you did the wrong thing.
So could Travis and Nicole have conceivably gone back to the dock and walked in if it was going to take less than 30 minutes?
They could have. Which probably is what they should have done. Well, maybe because Phil had already checked them in and given them the penalty, I guess not.
That's a good question. You're saying if it's close enough, can you just go back and redo it? Happened before, right? I feel like people have done that before.
Yeah, I feel like they have as well. I mean, I know that if you quit a task, you can't unquit it. But if it's just a matter of, like, reading the route info and not following it to the letter and going back and doing it, I feel like that should be allowed, but for some reason, that's not what happened. Maybe it's longer than a half-hour walk.
That could be, yeah. You never really know how long that stuff is.
Yeah, I'm not one of those obsessives that like pulls up the Google map and looks at where things are relative to each other.
Peach would do it. Was it Chateau? Do you guys know Chateau?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how those guys manage to get everything that happens in every season.
It's incredible.
We had one guy in, where were we, China?
Yeah, we had a guy in China give us money.
Yeah, he said, oh, why don't you guys use your express pass? And just, because I'm like, well, we didn't win the express pass.
They assumed they knew that we had won the express pass. And the guy, we were struggling in China. And the guy came up and he said, why don't you just use your express pass? And we were like, but do you have any money?
Yeah,
because you know, whenever you can get some money from somebody, that's a bonus.
I feel like that happens a lot more often than we see.
Definitely.
Yeah, that they have like spies all over the world.
Yeah, if you ever see somebody on the race, give them money. That's what they need.
Yeah, I definitely would. In fact, it's happened like 3 times now that I've been on vacation somewhere, and then the Amazing Race goes through within days of us being there.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, in fact, when you guys were in Vienna, that was the week after we had been in Vienna.
How awesome was Vienna? We loved Vienna.
Vienna's my favorite city in the world.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I was really surprised at how pretty that was.
Yeah, it's an incredible place. And then on the same trip, we went to Prague, and Amazing Race Australia was there, I think, 2 days before we were. I went back and checked the filming dates. And so that was kind of crazy. And then this past New Year's over in Berlin, the show had been there as well. So one of these days it's going to line up and I'm going to wind up on vacation someplace. I'm going to run into the Amazing Race.
Keep going on vacation.
Yeah, and I'm going to give them all the money in my wallet.
There you go.
All right, so back to the show, because we're talking about the show. When you look at the clock and you see the first place team is checking in and it's 8:40, you know it's going to be an interesting final little bit, but I had completely forgotten there was an entire other group of teams that hadn't even gotten there yet. So there's four more teams, and I'm thinking, oh, right, those guys.
Yeah.
Usually, I mean, the way it always ends up, obviously, is, you know, you're either racing for first or you're racing not to be last. I don't think I've ever seen the first flights have such a huge difference. Like
they try to bunch them together.
Yeah, or like it's usually 90 minutes or something.
Yeah.
3 hours is like, especially when it's all based on just a drive to the airport, it seemed like a lot to give up.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It was like there were two different races going on.
Yeah,
definitely.
Totally.
And they didn't even see each other after a certain point.
Right.
All right, so, and we get to the dad and the daughter, and they fail pretty hard. But I honestly, I think they were going to lose even if they hadn't failed to read the clue, because it seemed like they got there and the other teams were already finishing up. So I'm trying to figure out where exactly they did go wrong.
Yeah, they seemed to get a little lost because most of the teams were already in the boat rowing and getting on their way to the clues, and they had just arrived, so I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I feel like he was yelling at her because he said she didn't get in the cab right away, but I couldn't tell if that was something she'd actually done or if he was just yelling at her. Because
yeah,
it seems like...
I guess we'll never know.
No, they seem like kind of a mess.
Yeah, I don't think they fixed any of their issues. They didn't really have time.
Yeah, they're probably having a lot of fun on that island by themselves.
Yeah.
That seems like the worst thing possible. You go on the race with your father that you don't get along with, and then you get stuck in an enclosed space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's probably trying to arrange her marriage as they sit there.
Yeah. It'll get better for them when more teams arrive, but right now, probably not that fun.
Yeah, definitely not. Okay, so...
I don't know.
Where's it going next week?
I'm not entirely sure. It looks like they might still be in Chile because I think I saw them at this sort of mine area.
Yeah,
it looked like salt mines.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I know mining's a big thing in Chile. So...
Where the miners were?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, yeah. If you're working on an oil rig, that's kind of similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we had an express pass up for grabs, and there's a new wrinkle in this. Like, you guys played with an express pass in play, but this is different because there's now two express passes. Do you guys think this adds to the game, or is it something that's just making everything needlessly complicated?
Both. It definitely adds to the game because you're obviously going to kiss the team's ass who has the express pass. And then the other team has to make a decision on who to give it to. They might give it to somebody, and then who knows?
Yeah, I think they did do that. Where they had two. I like that wrinkle where you have one to give away.
Yeah.
The express pass, the brush we had with it was we were like in the back of the pack with Mallard, me and Gary.
Yeah, the dinosaur thing, right?
Even though we were in the back of the pack with one other team, they were holding the express pass, so we felt very lonely.
Yeah. And it's interesting, like, we were in China one day, and everybody knew a U-turn was coming up, so everybody was being all nice to each other to not piss them off, so nobody would U-turn each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last two times that... Well, they did the two express passes in the last season, the American season, and then over the summer on Amazing Race Canada, the exact same thing happened. And one thing that was missing from this season, we didn't see a discussion between the teams about who was going to get the second express pass, and they didn't try to make a pact. So are we assuming now that they didn't make any kind of agreement with another team?
I think that will probably be coming up within the first 10 minutes of the next episode.
Yeah, people will start kissing their ass.
Yeah, at the next airport stop when they're all together.
Yeah. So how long is wise to hold on to that second pass? Like, should they burn it off right away, or should they?
I think you hang on to that the whole time.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it away the next round because there's still so many teams that a team that they think is good could lose.
Like, I don't see why
I would wait to weed out the bad the bad teams, maybe.
Or why even, like, what good does it do them to give it up early? Like, hold on to it, let people, you know, do as many favors for you as possible, and then give it up at the last minute. You know, I don't see. Yeah. I don't think giving it up helps.
Well, there's garnering goodwill, and then there's giving the pass to somebody you know is going to be out anyway pretty soon.
Right.
Which has happened the last two times.
But Kim and Marie got the pass, and they seem pretty ruthless.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be making any pacts with anybody, and I think they might be the kind of people that enjoy having their ass kissed.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, here's another interesting question that occurred to me. Last season, we had a team get eliminated early on with the Express Pass in their hand. Yeah. And then the exact same thing happened over the summer on Amazing Race Canada. So is the double Express Pass cursed?
No, I don't. I wouldn't say it's... That's like the worst thing that you could possibly do. Like, there's no...
No, losing a passport is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, too. That and losing your passport are the two worst things you could possibly do. But I still would put that as worse, because one is like you just are an idiot, and the other is you're actively hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You're not holding on to it.
Yeah.
I feel like losing your passport is way less culpable.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I didn't blame you guys a bit for what happened there. That was just rotten luck.
Well, Zev doesn't deserve any of the blame. I deserve all the blame for that.
Yeah, that was what I heard.
Yeah.
You heard correctly.
You heard correctly.
Yeah. Okay, so overall... What was that? You cut out a little bit there.
But we got another shot at it, so...
Yes, you did. And I thought that season... You guys were the force to be reckoned with.
Thank you.
Yep, we tried.
We did pretty good. We got cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both drove them here.
you actually kept the cars, because I don't know very many people, like, having listened to interviews, a lot of people don't keep the car.
We kept the cars. We painted them red and yellow.
No, that's false.
And his license plate says Zev, and mine says Justin.
The funny thing is, we both actually needed our cars.
That's right.
We needed the cars.
We kept them because it was good timing. Let's put it that way.
Good timing, yeah.
Has it proven to be a good car? Like, is it one you would have bought?
Yeah, I love my car.
Well, I love it too, but we did have to go through one little recall situation.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Other than what happened? What happened there?
They each had a transmission issue, but we got through it.
Yeah. Amazing race.
Yeah. And didn't you guys win a prize that you ended up declining at one point?
We won three trips. I took one, Zev didn't take his, and then we didn't take the one together. So two of them we didn't use.
Yeah. And is it a trip to explicitly that place, or do they just give you a lot of credit on Travelocity?
Explicitly that place.
All right. And which one did you take?
I went to Costa Rica with Nicole. That's Nicole. I went to Costa Rica with her.
That's adorable. I did the podcast with my fiance sitting like right across from me last week, and I kept threatening to turn the computer on him.
Yeah.
And finally, he left.
We'll be hearing about that one later.
Yeah. All right. So, based on your preseason picks to win, do you think what you saw last night, does that change anything?
Yes, I don't want the Afghanimals.
Who were your three?
I think it was Afghanimals, so I don't want Ephraim and his friend. They were good. They were fine. What? What's wrong with that?
I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening.
I don't know who my third was.
You gotta check the tape. Did you guys know who his third was?
Did I write that down somewhere?
Boston couple.
No,
Zeb said the Boston couple was going to go out first. That stuck in my head.
I'm sticking with my all couples final, and I'm going with the Tim and Marie to win. I didn't see anything that made me change my mind last night.
Yeah, it seems like that's a pretty safe bet. I feel like Jason and Amy are less interesting, and it's often the least interesting team that ends up winning, so that was why I went with them. But
yeah.
I think the couples all seem to be the strongest.
Yeah, I think they have the... It's almost by default.
Oh, and my third was the Oklahomans, but they...
All right.
So yeah, I did bad pictures.
Just by default, you know, you just look through it and it's like the theater guys, you know, they probably aren't gonna win. They don't seem that strong.
They remind me of the couple on Modern Family.
Oh yeah, they definitely do. Yeah. I thought actually they impressed me. I was sure they were gonna be at the back of the pack the whole time, but they ended up.
Well, but all they had to do was get to LAX and then they were okay.
Yeah,
that's fair.
They haven't really done anything yet. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, they could be there for a few episodes. Both of the girl-girl teams don't seem that strong to me. Ephraim, the football guys, will be there a little while, but they don't seem like they have the winning ticket. The three couples are, like, athletic guy, athletic girl, and, like, you know, they're not dumb as bricks. So it seems like a pretty good situation.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They're definitely the top of the power rankings if we were doing such a thing.
You should do that.
Yeah, I'll start it.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so we got some general questions. I went out and I asked all of the different social media venues, and I got some great questions for you guys because you were very hotly anticipated. I asked the fans, who do you want to hear from, and it was the first names that came up, Zev and Justin.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. So we got from... Over on our Reddit site, we have our own subreddit. It's /r/RHAP. We had a user named Annie Frankel who wants to know what happened after your passport got lost. Like, what process did you have to go through, and how much help did you get from the show? And I think I remember you guys found it later that day, but it was not in time to stay on the race.
No, we did not find it later that day. Because it happened on, like, a Thursday...
I think it was a Friday.
A Friday. We got stuck in Cambodia till Monday. So, and somebody, one of the people from the show came down, and we just hung out in Cambodia, got massages, and hung out at a nice hotel. It was fine.
Yeah, we
somebody picked it up and dropped it off at the embassy.
We dropped it in a monastery, and somebody put it at the embassy. And then one funny story is we had to wait till Monday to go get it from the embassy, and the embassy was right across from the hotel we were staying at. And we were staying at a nice hotel.
Yeah, the Royal.
Yeah, and so we were in good digs, but we were miserable. And then when it became time to go get the passports, they had the behind-the-scenes cameras with us. And so as we were walking across the street, the minute we got out into the street, it just started raining on us.
Oh.
And then we walk outside to go get the passport. It's raining. We get the passport, raining, and then it stops raining. It only rained on us when we went outside to get the passports. It just felt like one of those, you know, this is not your day, guys.
Like you have a cloud following you around.
That's right. It felt like a cloud is following us specifically. Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So we got a question on Twitter. Sasha Kolick asked, which team this season seems most likely to lose their passport? Like, who's going to follow in your footsteps?
I'd say most likely is the Afghanimals.
I would agree with the Afghanimals. Yeah. They seem like the most careless and like the you know, they have that kind of they have a mistakeful attitude.
Yeah, they seem to miss details.
First of all, I feel like it's usually going to be a guy. So, you know, they have two chances of that.
Yeah.
And because I don't know, it just seems like a guy thing to do to lose your passport, right?
Well, I don't know. A few seasons ago, there was a female team that lost one of their passports, and then...
Oh, it was a kid. Yeah, but that's Kehlani.
Yeah.
She can lose her passport with the best of them.
Yeah, and social media will track her down and give it back to her.
That was crazy.
That was really crazy.
We actually know her, and that's really what happened.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. All right, so we have a chat room going on, and we have a few people that have been submitting questions there and on YouTube. And I can go ahead and have our production team put some of those up for us. That's really small. Okay, we have from Sarah Freeman, who's one of our Survivor bloggers, it says, do they put 7 teams on the first flight in order to weight the odds for character teams who are maybe not good racers. Do we think it's fixed?
I don't think so, because all you had to do was drive somewhere.
Yeah, you can't control who drives it.
To weight it for character teams? No, I, you know...
If they wanted to do that, and it was a crappy character team, they just wouldn't have them on the show as much. They'd edit them out more.
And the other thing is, like, if you think about how much would have to go into a conspiracy like that,
yeah,
the downside of that coming out is so heavily, you know, outweighs the upside of what, like, having a team that's a little more interesting on for a little bit longer. Like, if it were to come out that the race was in any way fixed, it would throw a cloud over every season ever, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like if they're going to fix it, they're going to fix it in, like, a smaller way. Like, you know, if a team's very far behind, they'll just say, oh, this place doesn't open for another 18 hours and you're all going to hang out here while we wait for the other team to catch up. Like, those I feel like, if it's ever fixed, which I don't know that it is, those are the times when I think it would be.
I think if anything, it would be more about, yeah, it would be about letting the team that's behind, like, you know, letting them cut a corner here and there.
Or if there was an elimination, they could say it's a non-elimination.
Yeah, that's the part that we've always sort of wondered about. It's like, you know, are the non-eliminations set ahead of time? I think they are.
Yeah. I feel like, well, they have to build a speed bump, and so much of the production is done so far ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right, and the hotels and stuff. Yeah, I think it's on the up and up. I really do.
Yeah, I do as well, and I feel like you don't need to have great characters because of all of the CBS reality shows, this is definitely the least character-driven. Like, you could put the most boring people alive in the race, and the race is still interesting.
Definitely.
All right, so we got, what was the deal with those guys calling someone a bitch over the taxi issue?
She stole their taxi.
Yeah, she was a bitch.
Seems like kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
I think she wouldn't even be upset about being called a bitch.
Yeah.
She seems to wear that as a badge of honor on some level.
But that was, the Afghan animals did that? That was kind of smart.
Calling a taxi?
Yeah.
But it was after they forgot to keep their taxi.
They were the victims, not the perpetrators.
Right, but they also, that was another mistake that they made. That's two giant mistakes in the first episode for them.
Yeah, that's not looking good. Well, either they're going to be the team that gets eliminated on their own stupid mistake, or they're going to be the charmed team that stays in despite making all the mistakes.
Yeah, there's always one of those.
Yeah. So, we've got up here... Oh, Nick. We know Nick. What was Nicole's reaction to the "you are the first team to arrive" the first time a contestant actually knew not to celebrate at the mat? Like, I don't know. I don't think they... I don't think they knew what was up.
No, just kidding. Not you. was that the first time? Not the first time, but it definitely showed that she had done her homework.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because she heard the butt.
She's like, wait a second. Yeah, she knew what was coming.
Yeah, they're pretty sharp. I think we've definitely got this called. They're not going to make the same mistake twice.
Right.
Yeah, so, that only was because a taxi... something, they won't lose like when they're actually running the race, and they won't be able to do. They'll lose in some fluke way, like a taxi guy.
Yeah, it would be hard to believe that there would be something on this race that those two would not be able to accomplish.
Right.
Yeah. So, Don's Bread tweeted. This is an obvious question. Would you guys rather have done the paragliding task or do another waxing?
Paragliding.
I feel like the question is, would you guys rather do anything?
There's not many things we wouldn't rather do than the waxing, except maybe the fondue.
No,
I would rather get waxed again than eat the fondue.
No, I'd rather eat the fondue.
No, that fondue was awful.
Yeah. I wondered, hardest thing to eat, wasabi balm, giant plate of schnitzel, fondue.
Well, the hardest one to eat task-wise was the schnitzel, because that was just, you're not going to eat that in 12 minutes.
We only had 12 minutes.
That's just, nobody's going to do that. Even the Globetrotters, if they had gone that route, would not have been able to do that. Yeah. But the hardest like, that was delicious. The fondue was not delicious at all.
It
was bitter. It had alcohol in it.
It was like beer cheese.
It was beer cheese, and you had to eat it with the bread. It was. I was super uncomfortable that whole time.
So you had to eat it with the bread. You couldn't just, like, take a spoon.
That's right. That was the hard part. I puked my brains out that night.
Yeah, I think they showed it.
Yep.
All right, we got, so was there an abnormally higher amount of team mistakes for an episode one? I counted three, but I think I'm forgetting some. Well, we've been over that. We had a lot of mistakes.
I thought there were a lot of mistakes in this one. I think this is, you know, first blush, I think this is not a super strong cast race-wise. Character-wise, there are some interesting teams, but race-wise, I feel like this is a winnable race.
Yeah, and I feel like if everybody's kind of at the same level, it's still interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least to, like, have half the teams be at the same level.
One season, they should take all the teams that lost first and have them race. Just be like a comedy of errors for the whole race.
I feel like the entire season would be them trying to get to the airport.
That's right. Wasn't that how, like, the first season was?
Yeah. A lot of those early seasons ended up, like, the whole first half of the episode was like, oh, we're getting in the car, we're getting on the train, we're going to the airport, we're walking through the terminal.
Yeah. I wasn't watching back then, but Zev was.
Yeah. Have you been a fan since season one, Zev?
I don't know if it was season one, but it was maybe season two. I was just flipping through the... Because normally I would watch Laker games on Sunday, but they weren't playing... So I was just flipping through the channels, and I saw these people racing. I was like, oh, I like competition shows, so let's stick with this for.
It clearly stuck.
He used to talk about it all the time. He would tell me about it. You should be watching this. And I just didn't listen. And then finally, I really didn't even watch it until we got on. Like I hadn't even watched it when we applied. Then we got on. And then I went to YouTube, and they have all the shows on YouTube, and I got addicted. I watched, like, 7 seasons in a row on YouTube. Yeah. I just kept going. And I was, like, taking notes, you know, this race and this thing, and this is what we got to watch out for. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't use any of that, but it helped me understand what the race was.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it was useful in that respect.
Yeah.
All right, so... RapFan21 wanted to ask Zev where he got those awesome silver PJs.
I was at my auntie and uncle's house, and I walked in my uncle's closet, and he had these PJs. So I'm like, oh, I'm taking these, and I'm going to wear them on the race.
So they were semi-ill-gotten. Did you give them back?
No, they were hot PJs.
No, I asked. No, I but I knew he'd be okay with it.
Yeah. Did you give them back at the end of the race, or did you keep them?
I kept them.
Still has them.
Yeah. I have a blue pair, too.
Anyone wants to buy them? The silver PJs for sale.
You can auction them off for charity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Zeb Glass for charity.
Yeah.
All right, so we're getting close to, I think wrapping it up here, but... What are you guys up to now? Like, you have a show, you have a tremendously funny show on, I think the network is called T-Radio V.
It's called T-Radio V, yeah. We do a show Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. It's called Let's Get Digital. And basically, it's us and our buddy Kevin. We just talk about...
Politics.
Lately, we've been talking about politics, because I've sort of had my head in that for a while now. But we talk about digital stuff, social media stuff. You know, whatever video. We show a lot of funny videos and talk about what's trending. And then we have really cool guests. We had Bill came on. We had Terrell Owens came on.
Yeah, that guy's all over the podcasts.
He's everywhere,
When is he not podcasting?
Yeah, I know. He's pretty digital, that guy. We had, you know, if you're a Twitter person, we had the Sulk. We did a Revenge of the Nerds reunion. Holly Robinson Pete came on, so we've had some pretty cool guests. Mike White from the show. So you know, we've embraced the digital thing, and so we talk about Twitter, we talk about Facebook, we talk about Google Glass, you know, whatever's new in the app world, but not from like a technical perspective, more like how it affects everyday life and whether or not, you know, it's a good thing.
Sort of sociological.
You know. Yeah, it's and
but way
and
funnier.
Sociopathic at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you're on Twitter a lot, Justin.
I am. Yeah, I sort of live on Twitter. I'm at Justin_Canoe. He's at Zev Glassenberg. And yeah, I definitely, like, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I got on there.
This is the longest I've ever seen him without tweeting.
I can put it down, but I don't choose to often.
Yeah. Well, you were tweeting right before we went on air. I saw that.
Yeah, and I'll probably be tweeting right when we get off air. No, it's true. I'm definitely a crackhead when it comes to Twitter. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But I love it. I mean, it's like the only way that I really surf the web anymore. You know, I think it's really cool to be able to communicate with everybody. You know, I especially in like the political side of things, like I've really, you know, it seems like a good way to, you know, help circulate information, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, you can find out in real time what happens. I think it's
really it's watching the world go by for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're getting on 11 o'clock, so we should probably wrap it up. But I wanted to thank you guys very much for coming on the show, and you are welcome back anytime. It's probably more fun when Rob's on, but.
Well, thanks for having us, and definitely let us know if you need us again. We're here. And tune in, you know, Wednesday nights to that show. We're going to do a little race thing at the end of each show, just talk about what happened and in a similar way. So, and that's a call-in show too. So, you know, if you guys want to call in and or Skype in, you know, we're always available.
Well, that's excellent. I'm glad you guys continue to cover the show, because I think it keeps the racers engaged. And I've asked a couple of racers to come on the show, and they've said, well, I don't really watch it anymore. So I'm glad you guys are still keeping up with it.
Absolutely. The race was very good to us.
Yeah.
Could have been better, but...
It could have been better.
it could always have been better.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. So thanks to you guys. Thanks to my production team, Scott St. Pierre and Jessica Frey, who jumped in at the last minute and ran this thing hopefully as smoothly as Rob does. We have a couple of things coming up this week. It's a light schedule because Rob is still out being a dad, and we don't begrudge him that at all. Stephen Fishback did a great job pinch hitting on last night's Breaking Bad podcast with Antonio, and he'll be helping out on Survivor content this week. He's got a mystery guest lined up for Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday. And I think all the regular Rob has a website content that you've come to know and love is going up according to its regular schedule. So My Amazing Race blog, you should check it out. And we'll hear from our usual bloggers about Survivor. So thanks again to you guys. Thanks to the audience and the chat room. Thank you to Rob for not firing me over this disastrous podcast. And we will be back next week. We have another team lined up, a popular team who's been getting a lot of...
Who's coming next week? Who is it?
I'm only going to tease it. I will reveal it on Twitter later in the week, but it is a team of finalists. They're one-time racers, but they're people that everybody has been asking about, so I think it's going to be a good time, and hopefully Rob will be back. So I guess...
No clues?
Those are my clues. They were finalists, and everybody was asking about them. So fair popular enough. Teams, fan favorites. I mean, well, fan second favorites, because you guys were definitely the ones people asked about the most, and now I've kind of...
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that's it for us. Once again, thanks to everybody. I'm going to pathologically thank everybody all the time, and I will see you again next week.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care, guys.
Take care.